This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's now time for our social revival series with Mufti Ismail Naik. We're talking about the etiquette of masajid. How do we use the masajid? How do we use ablution facilities? And everything around the masajid. And of course, inshallah, we want to have a quick comment from Mufti Ismail Naik about our discussion around the haram. It's become quite hot. And like I said, before I went for the break, that was my final word on it. But of course, there is the second final word because Mufti Saab is senior to me. And of course, alhamdulillah, more manageable. And he can talk from experience because he actually lived there for many years, mashallah. And he understands what the context of the discussion is. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As always, it is the social revival series. Mufti Saab, we had a very, I would say, animated discussion before we came on air. All people responding to the whole discussion around the new expansion of the Haram Sharif and the also the you know, the Haram precinct and the fact that it's become ultra modern and the loss of spirituality and, you know, people saying that modernity and progress seems to be standing in the way of spirituality. And I'm just really interested in your take, your comment on the situation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa sallallahu ala ibadihi al-ladhina istafa wa sallam. Firstly, we need to know that from the very beginning, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built the Masjid al-Nabawi, and he built Masjid Quba, and the Haram in Mecca was just a Kaaba, and there were houses around the Kaaba. Tawaf was made walking through the houses and so on. Thereafter, at the time of, you know,
so for you and I, the quota doesn't actually apply because we're Zimbabwean, right?
Yes, that's quite correct, mashallah. And
we can go every year if we want, hey.
Yes.
We can go every year if we want, hey.
Yes, that's very, very correct, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
In our firm, they don't ask you, have you been there before or have you been for Hajj before? That question is not yet there for us.
Subhanallah. You know, and I knew there was a reason why I hung on to my Zimbabwean citizenship.
Alhamdulillah. To be honest, going back to what we were saying, that, you know, on one hand, we want, of course,
knowledge reigns supreme over almost everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only given you knowledge, but has given you an ability to, you know, bring it across eloquently and very, very understandably. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for that. And, you know, the thing about people, knowing people of knowledge, is that we will stop panicking. We will stop being irrational. And what you've just done with your answer, Mufti Saab, you've taken away the panic. We've taken away the irrationality of some of the thoughts. And really, Allah, Allah must reward you abundantly for that. Amen.
You know, to be honest, we are not knowledgeable. Knowledge is something that, you know, where we struggle to work it to, you know, from the point of birth to the point of death, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So it's just the little bit that we may have, you know, known is what we should be trying to convey. And I don't consider myself a big island or something. Wallahi, we are students of knowledge. We learn everything today. And it's important for us to be corrected, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you nevertheless, and I think you've just really clarified it for many of our listeners. And I don't know if anybody would like Mufti Saab to clarify directly, then you can call 4947007. I don't think that would be necessary because Mufti Saab has explained it crystal clear. And I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us all. Well, Mufti Saab, we were supposed to talk about etiquette of using the facilities in the masajid. And, of course, I think it's appropriate we started off with the whole discussion around the precinct of Mecca, because that is also another very, very big undertaking with regards making sure that the Hujjaj are able to use the ablution facilities and so on. Although, depending on how close to the haram you live, people will make the ablution at home or at the hotel and continue and proceed to the haram. But obviously, our masajid are not in the same condition. Sometimes we would have to make use of those facilities whilst we are at the masjid. And alhamdulillah, in Southern Africa at least, our masajid have pretty good facilities. In other countries, there isn't even, Mufti Saab, I'm sure you can correct me if I'm wrong, there isn't even sometimes ablution facilities, because everybody has this understanding that you do that at home and you can't wait to learn salah.
You know, amazing, we're talking about two things, and, you know, we started off in one way, and now we've come very, very coincidentally into this thing here. I had a friend from Bihar.
Yes.
And he once traveled to South Africa, and I met him there. And he told me, you know, your people, the masajid, this is very, very wrong. How can you have such carpet and air conditioning? What extravagance is this? This is haram, man. You know, the reason I'm raising this sure we use them properly and we use them in a way that we would appreciate. Some people wipe their feet with the towels that are there for the faces, and that is wrong. That is absolutely incorrect, because we wouldn't like to use such a towel for our own selves. Why would we like to impose it on others? Another very important thing, speaking about etiquette of the masajid, that one of the biggest issues in our time is the mobile phone. MashaAllah, we've got phones. If you know how to use the application of the profiling and so on, you can actually set your phone in advance to switch off during the times of Salah. From the beginning of the day, in fact, from the beginning of the month, from when your phone is new, you can actually set this profile to come on from this time to that time. So whilst you're in the masjid, it's actually on silent automatically. So there's no question of you having forgotten. But we don't like to make use of these. This part of the technology, sometimes we don't even know that it exists, and it's just a few buttons away.
Is this on any smartphone, or just like the one that you use?
A lot of the phones, you know, if you go to profiles, especially, and it gives you the timing, and you can actually time it. Normally, all the phones that I've come across nowadays, they have at least one option of you know, timing between a certain time and a certain. Some of them have more than one option, as many as you want, which means I can say at 8 o'clock you go into silent, at 9 o'clock you come back to the general profile.
Okay.
And then, for example, at 1 o'clock you go into silent, and at 2 o'clock you come back onto the general. You can actually do that in your phone. If you take a look at it, you will be able to find that particular facility on the phone. And mashallah, I think we, as Muslims, we owe that to the masjid and to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because believe me, the worst distraction, and I think the greatest blessing, is when we have left our phones on, when the ringtone is unacceptable. You know, you have a naked Satanist woman of the West who is an open Satan worshipper and so on, and in the first half you have her songs being blown. And worse still is when people are in the mataf, speaking about the haram, and people are in the masjid and they are making tawaf and they're busy speaking in their phones and they, Allahu Akbar. You know, it's not prohibited to take your phone to the masjid on condition that you put it on silent or you know how to use it. We ask Allah to grant us understanding. This is such a beautiful topic, and I'm sure a lot of people have a lot to say.
Mufti said, let's talk about the haram as well. I don't know whether there's a different culture there. And a lot of the things that I have, you know, that I found, you know, to be unacceptable in our situation, I find that people in Makkah are very easy about it. Let's talk about the cell phones.
What I've come to learn is proportionately the same thing happens in our masjid. So, let's say if there are 50 Muslims in our masjid and you have one whose phone rings, there you have 500,000 and you'll probably have, 500 people whose phones are ringing. If you know what I'm trying to say. So to us, it looks like there's a lot of people, but proportionately it's happening in our masjid also. We need to deal with it ourselves. And whenever I've told people that, you know, Allah changes the condition of people who change their own conditions, a lot of them say, well, no, those people must change. But what about us? We've got similar weaknesses. In our own masjid, there are things happening. And I do agree, it's very irritating. That's why I raised it here, to say, whatever people do should not justify what's right and wrong. A lot of people say, look, it's happening in the haram, why can't it happen here?
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
It is happening more, though, because what I do know, it's a bigger place, you know, it's a bigger masjid, and people need the phone sometimes in order to tell the other family members, you know, I'm here and I'm there and this is what it is. And the people, you know, go in. But they need to know how to use it. And there are people who do not know. Maybe they're not fortunate enough to have had ulama or radio programs as this to have taught them how exactly to use the phone. And some people do not have common sense, because today everybody is after common dollars.
Can I ask you, Mufti Saab, when somebody is making tawaf, is it permissible to make tawaf and be talking to somebody on the phone?
Well, the truth of the matter is, when you're making tawaf, you and you're talking to some to a person who is there with you making tawaf, you would still be wrong. It's not like your tawaf is going to be invalid, but you're going to reduce the reward of that tawaf. Because I remember one of the mashayikh saying that to talk to a person next to you is worse, because now there are two voices and the person can hear the entire discussion, you know. And to talk on the phone, there's one voice. The other voice is at least coming.
I'd like to do it while you are on the phone, and you know, you put your hands free on, and they make the tawaf, and the person at home kind of feels that they are there. I don't know if that can be done. I don't know.
You know, it's not only, I mean, I don't think we should just single out the Arabs, but as you correctly said, it even happens to our people, and I think that's a sign of weakness and lack of understanding, where people think, you know, if they're hearing the dua, you know, it will be better for them. If they know exactly, it will be better for them. That's just a weakness of our own understanding, because the dua, the best dua is for the dua that the person doesn't even know you're making for them. That's in the hadith of the Prophet. So we're actually reducing the chances of this dua being accepted, in the sense that we want to now let them know, so it becomes more of a show than anything else. You know, and say, okay, but you raise your hands here, I raise my hands here, and let's make the dua. We should rather concentrate, make the dua properly. You know, I know of people who've gone far beyond that, and they've had, they've Skyped their tawaf from the internet, which is on their phone, whilst they're making tawaf, and they actually talk about it, and they say, you know what, we've actually got this, we showed them at home how quickly we completed these 7 rounds. So there are a lot of things that are happening which are diverting us, and that's why I say, you know, when we point fingers at others, we first need to look at ourselves. They normally say that three fingers are pointing back at you. We have to look at what we are doing, and we have to correct ourselves. The use of the mobile phone is something that's not haram, but it just has etiquette. It just has a method. Nobody says it's haram. Your ringtone, you need to rectify it. You know, I've come across people, you know, as pious as they may be, but there's one problem. They don't want to choose a better ringtone. They still have those jingle bells and those silly ringtones. And you look at a man, you know, mashallah, he looks so religious, and next thing you hear Beyonce singing from his pocket. I mean, it's out of this world. You can't understand why they do this. It just doesn't make sense. Mm. And the same people who complain about, you know, what's happening here and there, and subhanAllah, there's something that's so irritating that you just can't get rid of.
We're speaking to Mufti Ismail Mink. He does the social revival series. If you have any questions, you can call us on 494-7007. We started our discussion with regards the attitude that people have about the modernization of the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and we're now talking about the etiquette of using, or at least using, facilities in our local masajid. Mufti Saab reminded us that everything in the masjid is waqf, and we can't just use it as if it's for free. You know, the attitude like people have of the government or the taxpayers' money is to say, hey, you know what, this is the taxpayers' money, and we can and we have it for days, and people just use it to their heart's content. And we shouldn't have that attitude when it comes to using our facilities in the masjid. Mufti Ismail Mink, let's go back to the discussion around progression. I think we have a call. Do we have a call, Ibrahim? Yes, we have a call on the line. We'll pick up that discussion later, Mufti. So, is it a brother or sister? Brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes,
Mufti Saab, can you hear the brother?
Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, we are using a lot of tawaf in our mosques throughout South Africa. And it is sunnah not to use a tawaf, as you say, it is sunnah to make with your tomb. I think we should take this money and let it invest it into reform of people or give it to charity. And using this tawaf in the mosque, people just gossip in the Wuzhou canal. I want your opinion on that. Jazakallah.
Panchat. What did they call it? Panchat.
Yes. Tell me, what was the word the uncle said? We're using a lot of what?
He said we're using a lot of towels in the masajid, and he says that it is similar, as you pointed out, to make wudu at home. We spend a lot of money. We spend a lot of money, keeping up these facilities, whereas people just use the wudu khana to make panchat amongst themselves and to gossip. And he says that maybe we should take that whole feature completely, I think the brother says, out of the masjid.
Yeah, to be honest with you, to give a very balanced response is we would need to have a facility to make wudu for those who, have come to the masjid maybe from work or from somewhere where they didn't have access to water. But we need to re-conscientize the people regarding the sunnah of using your own water before you come to the masjid. It will definitely protect you from backbiting that goes on in the wudu khanas, because the wudu khanas in some
say again?
To make sure that this is Sunnah. I said the issue of electricity. When the electricity had come into the masjid, there were so many people who had a lot to say. There was a lot of flack that you still need to use the old lantern and you still need to do this. When the carpets came into the masjid, people said you need to make a sajda on the floor. And this is all expansion. Why I'm saying this is because we've expanded our masjid similar to what the Haramain is being expanded. And we've gone very, very far off what was happening at the time of the Prophet. But it's not haram. Which means our masjid, our ulama teach us they must be slightly more comfortable than the average home of the locality so that people feel like going there. So now you've got bacon, you've got marble, you've got a thick carpet, you've got hot water, you've got toilet facilities better than your own home, and you've got all that, and they buy the next door homes and whatever and destroy them and extend and expand and build a madrasa and a masjid, and the masjid are becoming double and triple. So no, it says that haram. So expansion has to happen on condition that you haven't wasted the funds, you've had the funds and so on, and on condition that, it's done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was necessary, it was something that was needed. If it was not needed at all, then it's a waste. So, yes, we do need to use all the facilities correctly. The towels, we can have towels there, because I think, a lot of the people would probably prefer to wipe themselves, although we would say, it's better not to, but they would prefer to wipe themselves, it's nothing wrong. People have that facility, some people have the tissue paper, some people have towels and so on. But at the same time, we need to economize on the way we use these facilities. If you have your own, alhamdulillah. And I've seen masajid that has spare toppies, and spare dust coats, so that in case someone wants to cover their arms and so on. So you have spare toppies, spare dust coats, spare towels, spare everything. Imagine, you just come into the masjid, the next day you get into gear, it's like dipping yourself into the refreshing tanks or the antiseptic tanks before you go into the factory. And that's basically what's happening.
Would you say this is a final end note? Many of us use the facilities in masajid that that don't bring out, that are not in our locality, particularly in Johannesburg. We go and perform Jumu'ah in Sandton and so on. And sometimes we go to the various masajid and are we passing through for us or whatever it is. Is it not good practice to put in a little money there because you've used the water, you've used the facilities? And just to contribute, to make your contribution towards the upkeep, because a lot of people that use those masajid are passing through, and we're not paying for the facility, but it's the locality that normally are burdened with the upkeep, and I'm sure they would like some little help.
That's a very, very powerful point, and I'd like to take it home first, in the sense that in our own areas, a lot of the biggest noisemakers have never given a sense to the masjid. We should realize that this is the nature of people. People who complain about the lights and the net and the this, they've never contributed a cent, even when the committees might have gone to them to seek something, they refuse to donate one penny. And they're the biggest noisemakers, they use the facilities, they abuse the facilities the most. So that is a sign of rejection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have people who sleep over, you have people who use the facilities, people who use the toilet.
knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with your knowledge as well, inshallah, so that we can continue to benefit from you, from myself and the rest of the team. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.